Hello, I'm Kurt Layer with Midas. You ever turn down the radio just to listen to your car? Was that a squeak or a grind or did something just fall off? Yep, probably time for Midas. Right now, save up to $80 on tires and get a free oil change when you buy four tires. That's real savings on something your car actually needs, whether it's brakes, suspension, warning lights, or even just routine maintenance. Midas has you covered. Stop by Midas on East Brundage Lane today before your car starts talking back. Midas Tire and Auto on East Brundage Lane in Sheridan.
Okay, Saturdays in Sheridan just got more useful. Synergy Shop and Minion's open house is every Saturday from 11 to 2 with serious shop space for your RV, boat, trailer, and business. Big doors and high ceilings for lifts or storage. Come walk through, take a look, and see what you can do with it. Donna Garland with Sheridan Realty Associates built and designed these units, and she'll be on site to open every door and answer every question. Synergy Shop and Minion's on East Rich Roads just past Coca-Cola.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors. If you're looking for a trailer, we've got a great selection on the lot right now. Horse trailers, heavy-duty flatbeds, cargoes, and dump trailers. Whether you're hauling livestock, equipment, or your toys, these trailers are built for real Wyoming work. Stop by and see what just came in and find the trailer that fits your rig and your job. Prime Rate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Every building needs a strong foundation to weather life's storms. Your financial legacy is no different. I'm Susie Garber-Johnson, partner and wealth advisor with Legacy Ridge Private Wealth. We help clients build disciplined, coordinated financial strategies designed to support you today and safeguard future generations. Call 307-655-6870. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, May 21st, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting. And this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan County Commissioners Lonnie Wright and Michael Arzee. We're also joined by Sheridan County Emergency Management Coordinator Jesse Ludikaus. Good morning and welcome back to the show, all.
Morning, Floyd.
Morning.
It's kind of nice out there. It's not a downpour, but every little bit of precipitation helps, Commissioners.
It really is an Emerald City right now. It looks like Ireland out there.
Yeah, it truly does. Yep. It was a good drive over this morning. It's not as wet in Buffalo as it is over here. Mm. So I'm hoping this kind of goes a little to the east, kind of just gets the whole region, because it's been a rough year. Now, Jesse, would you describe our current moisture conditions here in Sheridan County as we head into what looks like could be a long summer?
Yeah, they just released some new reports and showing that the amount of water equivalent that we would expect this time of water year is actually just, it's improved considerably with the storms that we've had throughout Wyoming. Our region particularly is about 74% of average when it comes to water equivalent. We're not talking about snowpack equivalent, we're talking about water equivalent. And most of the other areas kind of to the south have definitely improved over the last couple of weeks. So that's a promising sign. However, that doesn't help with snowpack, which is what's important for the reservoirs and the streams and the creeks. So most of the stuff that we're seeing falling is just going straight into the ground, which is good for the local area. But it's still concerning that we don't have enough water for the water producers.
We're looking at a long game when it comes to snowpack, right?
Yeah, correct. So typically each year we'll see that the snowpack, as it melts, it will fill up the reservoirs. Again, kind of as a reminder how our reservoirs work, we don't really release water out of those reservoirs in the typical sense. During this time of year, what happens is those reservoirs fill up with the melting snowpack. And once those reservoirs hit capacity at 100%, then they start to spill over the spillway on the sides of each of those dams. And then that's typically when we'll start seeing our creeks and rivers start to rise, is because of the reservoirs are now full and they're overspilling. We haven't seen a lot of rise in our creeks, and that's because those reservoirs are still filling. And from the reports we're getting, they may not hit capacity. So we won't see that huge runoff that we normally see this time of year.
So the creeks, everyone walking their dogs, fishing, all of that, it could kind of be put on hiatus this year because those are going to be pretty low.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty low. It does sound like because of the call on the tongue, we're still going to be releasing water. It's just people won't be able to be pulling water from them. They'll have to continue to allow that to go downstream.
Okay. What are you seeing right now that concerns you about drought conditions in the long term?
Yeah, you know, part of the issue with the call on the tongue that is of concern is that if the producers aren't able to water their fields as much as they normally would, we won't have those large areas of green grass that would be typically watered this time of year or throughout the year. And so those are just going to turn dry, which means that that's going to make fire season even more dangerous because we'll have larger areas that are not watered. And so that definitely could have an impact on this fire season. We've had three fires in the last 3 days, all human caused. And even though the grass is green, it's still burning. And the reason why is there's just a lot of underbrush that is dry. So yeah, you may see nice green grass, but underneath that, you're still seeing very dry conditions.
And so it's by the time we hit, I don't know, August, if things stay the way that they are, how severe would you say this fire season looks? And you can't predict something like that. I understand that. But based on the conditions that we would have, would you be pretty worried?
Yeah, I think we're all pretty worried. We're making a lot of plans and preparations with all the first responder agencies, the fire departments. We're having lots of conversations about that. We're kind of buttoning up some of our response capabilities. We're quicker. All of our fire departments are very much working hard to quickly respond to fires, where before it may be just one agency, the local fire district is responding. They're much quicker now to start paging other districts to come out and give a hand, and maybe even if they're just bringing water trucks to help them. That's becoming much more commonplace than it was before.
Usually you and I are talking about flood conditions this time of year, my friend.
Yeah, when I signed up for this slot today, I thought we'd be talking about flooding like 6 months ago, and that's typically what we are having a conversation about. That's not as much of a concern. But this time of year, with these spring storms that come through, this is when we have debris flow issues.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's something that we're going to talk about, because due to former fires, those scars have still got a lot of, I guess you could call it like burnt type topsoil that's no longer really gripped to the ground. There's nothing to stop anything from free flowing down. Thus, you get debris flows. If a big rain came through, how bad do you think it would be?
Yeah, so we continue to monitor all of the burn scars, usually 3 to 5 years after an event. The reason why it's so far out, you think just year two or year, you know, would be sufficient. According to many of the experts, it takes 3 to 5 years for those root systems to break down. So all those trees and things like that you see that are out there that you know, are dead but just haven't fallen over, usually takes 3 to 5 years before those root systems really break down. And now those become debris that can come down those creeks and rivers. So we'll continue to monitor those. We are concerned about that. It just takes one thunderhead to set on top of a particular location and drop half an inch in an hour or something like that. And now you've got a good debris flow that could definitely take place.
What are the dangers associated with debris flows that people should know about? Why are we so concerned about this?
Yeah, I mean, that incident that took place in Texas with that camp that was there, you know, those people all died because of a large debris flow. And, you know, and the rains weren't even anywhere near the location where the camp was located. It was much further upstream. So we have videos on our Facebook page, and USGS last year had videos of that debris flow that came down Highway 14 up there above Dayton. And you can see it just goes within 2 minutes. It goes from a trickle to a roaring mess of rock and trees. And if you were anywhere near that, there's no way you can survive that, not with that amount of debris that's inside those flows.
And getting hit with baseball bats and rocks while you're trying to grasp for air. It's a bad situation. And yes, that is an extreme look at it, but that is something that has happened. We should keep our eyes on.
Yeah, it happened last year. And we had multiple ranches that were kind of on the north end of the county that definitely got hit pretty hard with some major mud and debris flows. And so we've been working very diligently with the Conservation District and other groups to help try to clean some of that up. But still, we can never predict exactly where those rain and thunderstorms are going to sit on and which tributaries are going to be impacted, which then would be those ranchers and private properties that are near those creeks that could be impacted with all those debris flows.
And impacted property damage, long-term property damage. I had a buddy who it was just one rainstorm, but he watched 20 I can't remember the exact weight, but it was weeks and weeks getting it out. Dirt accumulated within his window well, shattered the window, and he watched his entire yard pour into his basement. And it was about 3 feet of dirt, debris, covered the entire basement, and it was a very large basement. And took a long time to get that stuff out of there. That's one yard. Just one backyard. And I was pretty surprised at the amount of material that was able to actually be moved by water in such a brief amount of time. Now, you said it is hard to predict. This isn't something that you know where it's going to happen, but are there kind of subregions within the area that you're really paying attention to, something that you're looking at? If you heard that a storm was going to hit area X, you're worried. Area Y, you're not.
Yeah, anywhere that the Elk Fire was located is definitely of concern, any of that burn scar location. We do have, and we deploy temporary weather stations all along the burn scar. We were able to get a grant, and with the support of the commissioners, we were able to get that grant. And so we deploy those during this time of year, and then it's monitored 24/7 by the National Weather Service. So if they see that there's stuff going on, then they issue a flash flood or flash flood warning. So if you're in an area that does have a flash flood warning, take that seriously because it could involve debris flows. And if you know that you're a landowner that happens to be on one of those tributaries of the Elk Fire burn scar area, you know, just as your friend had a window that was just above the, you know, ground in the basement, those are areas that I would definitely get sandbags and just, you know, cover those windows with a sandbag. So if there is a debris flow, hopefully it will prevent a rock or a branch from breaking through that. So yeah, taking some of those precautions to try to protect your personal property is really important.
Now, do we have sandbag locations set up like we usually do this time of year for individuals who may be in the line of those burn scars and they're thinking, you know what, let's just put some sandbags up, take some precautions around the basement windows?
Yeah, we have those up year round. So those locations, we usually close them down kind of during the winter, at least, you know, some of the outlying areas. That's up to the towns and the fire districts that support those, whether they bring that stuff inside. But definitely the fairgrounds, we always have supplies that are there, including bags and sand. And you just bring a shovel and you can take what you need for your personal property. We have locations throughout the county. So if you're interested in that, you can go to my website, just search Sheridan County Emergency Management, and there's a link right there that shows you where all the sandbag locations are at.
All right, fantastic. Now, moving on down the line, but not too far from this subject, let's talk about preparation for a possible large fire season. What conversations are being had right now? You said that the fire departments are already talking to each other, saying, let's just respond to them as quickly as possible. Let's get as many men out there as we possibly can. Throw some water on everything. What other conversations are happening? Are you speaking with state or anything like that?
Yeah, we're working really hard with we make plans every year with the state. We have large meetings talking about larger assets like air assets. We will have different tankers and things like that that are going to be positioned around the state and the surrounding states so that they can respond as quickly as they can to those fires. So there's already preparations in place, and we've already seen aircraft, which we'd never usually see this time of year, that are out there working fires all around the state. So, and then also the National Guard is also adding capabilities to their system so that they can also provide fire support where they hadn't as much in the past. So we are definitely working in a whole aspect. It's not just Sheridan County that's impacted by this, but all the surrounding counties and really the whole state and surrounding states. So all of us are working together to try to prepare as best as we can and respond as quickly as possible, because we know if we respond quickly, then hopefully we can get those fires out before they become large. It's not always possible. We've already had some fires in, not in our county, but in surrounding counties that are in very rural areas, and it's very hard for us to get to those locations many times, even with fire trucks and stuff like that. And getting aircraft does take an extended period of time. And if the fire starts in the evening, we may not have air support until maybe the next day, because they don't typically fly during the nighttime or evening.
And then once you get that fire started, two or three good winds.
Correct. Yep. And it's just one thunderstorm, dry thunderstorm, and or an out of
races.
Yeah.
Off to the races.
Out of control, controlled burn that got out of control, or any of those kind of things can definitely happen.
Yeah. Now, I was just going to add that the Sheridan County Joint Powers Fire Board meetings I've been at have commented that Jesse talked about the air assets that are available now, probably because of the situation we're in. But the mindset in my experience was, oh, you know, we don't want to call for a helicopter because it's just something we think we can handle this, and
we don't want to spend the money, right?
Well, it's a state funded asset, so I don't know about who pays for it if you call for it. I assume someone has to pay for it, but I think the notion was, don't wait. If you think there's any chance at all you need air support, call soon, call early, and don't kind of put it off,
mm-hmm.
because getting there early is pretty key in a lot of these situations.
So. Now, I got to take a quick commercial break, but I would like to continue this conversation as we go into the second half, because there are some things that I would like to ask you about when it comes to what we can do as the average resident or citizen out there trying to get ready for a long season. Maybe some ditches are being burnt out, trying to get them as clear as possible. We want to take extra precaution there, and we'll talk about some other precautions that we can take right now to try and mitigate any dangers as we go forward in what could be a very dry summer. More with Sheridan County in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Heads up! Whether it's at work, at home, or play, take a few seconds to look up and locate any overhead power lines. When working outside, be sure to keep yourself and any tools or equipment you're using at least 10 feet away. Teach your children to fly kites or toys in areas away from overhead power lines, and do not attempt to remove anything that has become tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
Hey folks, this is Chris Hayden here at Sheridan Motors, your locally owned hometown dealership. We've got a lot of excitement happening right now, and I'd love for you to come see it for yourself. From our full lineup of vehicles to our state-of-the-art full-service facility, we're here to make your experience easy, convenient, and even a little fun. Take advantage of our pickup and delivery service so you don't even have to leave home or work. And every time you bring your vehicle in for maintenance or repairs, you'll drive away with a free car wash. That's just how we do things here at Sheridan Motors. Where great service, friendly faces are always waiting. Sheridan Motors, proud to serve our community.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest American birthday bash in Wyoming. The Red, White, and West 250, honoring America's 250th anniversary with hot new country western star Cole Goodwin. I'm Tommy B from the Coyote Morning Show, proud to bring the footstop and two-step and music of Cole Goodwin to downtown Buffalo. The Red, White, and West 250 is more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love and the western spirit that still runs strong in Wyoming. A night of country music, small town pride, and America's 250th birthday celebrated the way it ought to be. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at wildfeeder.com for the Red, White, West 250 with Cole Goodwin. Sponsored by the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, the Johnson County 250th Committee, and 93.7 The Coyote.
The SheridanMedia.com online marketplace closes this morning at 10 a.m. Don't miss your chance to score big local savings. Hungry? Need a night out? Tackling a project? Looking to treat yourself? Start at SheridanMedia.com. Save up to half off what you normally pay on local restaurants, entertainment, health services, hardware, and more. And when you spot something you love, click it, buy it, done. SheridanMedia online marketplace. Open now until 10 a.m. this morning at SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're sitting with Sheridan County Commissioners Lonnie Wright and Michael Arzee and Emergency Management Coordinator Jesse Luderkaus. Now, before we took a break, I promised we would discuss what we can do as residents to try and help mitigate the risk of wildfires as we go into what could be quite the heck of a drought season. So, Jesse, can we talk about some of the biggest mistakes that people make concerning fires that end up actually becoming pretty severe in fires? I mean, it can be the smallest thing, completely unintentional, and all of a sudden now half the hill's burning.
Yeah, so if you're doing any kind of controlled burn, if you even think it's possibly out of control, call right away. We'd rather get there. The fire districts would rather get there and help you put that out if you think it's getting out of control. So and always make sure that the fire is out before you leave any kind of control burn. I think we've discussed if you have vehicles or anything like that, making sure that you're not parking on tall grass. You can definitely start a wildfire easily that way. If you're towing anything and you're using chains, making sure that they're high enough up off the ground and they're not going through gravel or sparking along the roadway. Those are important things. Smoking, if you're a smoker, don't throw the cigarette outside the window. You know, those kind of things that just help to protect the public. Also, if you have a home and you're in an area that may have issues with wildfires, making sure you have defensible space. And so we have a lot of information on our website and stuff like that about what that looks for. And we actually have programs throughout the state that, throughout the county that will help you pay for defensible space. So we do have an individual. You can contact me and I can get you his contact information. It's a grant and he will come out and he will help you identify what is defensible space around your home. And then he will come up and with a plan to help you. That's all free of charge. There's no cost to that. And then if you decide to do any cleanup around your property, there's a 50-50 cost share up to a certain amount. So they'll help pay for $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars for you to hire somebody to come out and clean up around your property, whether that's trees, branches, brush, that kind of stuff, to make sure you have a defensible space.
That's fantastic, Jess. Jesse, sorry. It's that made my ears perk up. Because I'm from originally a rural area, and having somebody come out to my home, walk around and say, you know what, let's go ahead and get rid of this, let's cut this down, that would be a huge help to so many individuals in this county right now. So it is completely covered by a grant for him to come out, look around, help you find these, let's call them trouble areas, and come up with ideas to mitigate that fire risk getting to your house, your barn, or any other parts of your property.
That's correct. Yep. And he'll come out and do that for free. And then, like I said, there's a cost share if there is some cleanup that needs to be done to help you pay for some
of that.
If
it's a larger project, you and the family can't get it taken care of, you can apply for this.
Correct. Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's super simple. It's available pretty much throughout the county at this point.
And folks out there, you know, if you're in one of these areas where you think I might need some defensible space, so just right off the top of your head, I know anecdotally we don't have the information sitting in front of us. What's the average defensible space I should have outside my home?
Yeah, if you can give a good 50-100 yards around your property, that's great. Making sure that it's material that won't burn. You definitely don't want trees or shrubbery against your house. That's really bad. Or trees above your roof or any of those kind of things. Those are just ways that fire can easily impact your house. If you have a good defensible space, then we can get fire crews there around your property to help protect it. But if it's completely encroached with brush and shrubbery and trees and stuff like that, they may see it's too large of a risk for them to station somebody at. And so that could definitely impact that. And honestly, it can actually help reduce your homeowner's insurance, because now they quickly look at maps and see if you're overgrown, and they will increase your property insurance. Wow. For sure. They do that annually now.
And being able to tell your insurance agent, hey, I had a guy come out and we walked around the property. We made sure that this was safer than it was the other day. Mm-hmm. That could help.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's fantastic. And all they got to do is contact your office and you'll make sure that they are put in contact with this individual.
Correct. Yep. We had the contact information on our Facebook page some time ago, but anybody can reach out to me and I'll definitely get you in contact with them.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say what Jesse said is absolutely true about the crews will look at a property. Firsthand experience in the Little Goose Fire in 07, I was on a crew and we had several homes we were trying to protect, and some of them did the defensible space scheme, and so they were cleared out away from the house. Firewood was not packed up next to the foundation, so on and so forth. Other houses were all growed up and bushes right next to the house. Those houses got rode off. We could not defend those houses. I mean, there was no time to, start doing landscaping work. Mm-hmm. to make them defensible. So those houses got rode off as defensible, and we concentrated on the ones that we could defend. And
yeah.
Just the way it is.
And well, in an emergency situation with limited resources, limited manpower, I got to make some pretty tough decisions.
Yeah. Everything's limited.
Yeah. So, there on the spot. Yeah. So I can understand that. So it's up to the homeowner. Get out there, take care of the property, make sure that you're mitigating the risk to your own property, and ensure, at least I would have a plan. If I woke up one night and it was right outside the window, what do we do? Jesse?
Yeah, making sure that you are always prepared for any kind of evacuations is really important. I know Levi Dominguez, the sheriff, has been on here talking about the Ready, Set, Go program, talking Absolutely. About the evacuation zones that we've been working on very diligently. I've been working with him on that, and along with Chris Thomas, the fire warden, and the fire districts. And so we're all working together to create those zones. We'll have those published here very shortly. And so having ability to get those alerts and warnings on your phone, signing up for alerts and warnings, again, I can help anybody with that so they can reach out to me. The information's also on my webpage. And so it's really important that you do have that plan in place. You don't want to be thinking about, oh my gosh, I have to leave right now. What do I want to grab? What do I need? Having that conversation, or at least that thought process long before an emergency happens, is mm-hmm. is very important. I lost my home in a wildfire many years ago, and I was a police officer at the time. And I can tell you that was, even as a police officer, I was not prepared as I should have been for that incident. I was panicking and trying to figure out what exactly did I need to take and what else could I leave behind. And I regret to this day some of the things I wish I would have grabbed that were of importance. Mm-hmm. Those irreplaceable items that, just as a simple example, my wife had a box in the garage that was all of our baby stuff from our kids, right? And I, in a panic, I didn't think to grab that box. And that's one thing that no money can replace.
Yeah.
My grandmother had made me a quilted blanket and she had already passed away. And so I didn't think to grab that. I should have, because that's, a memory that I can't, no one can replace those things. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good things that we grabbed, but there was a lot of things that we missed. And so that's why I'm really passionate about my position in emergency management, is because I want the public to be prepared in a way that I wasn't.
Learn from your mistakes.
Correct. Yes. And if I can help just one person do that and not have that same trauma and issues, both for myself and my family, then that's what I'm here to do.
Absolutely. And we appreciate you for that, because you do have a perspective that a lot of people don't talk or are able to speak from. So I would just suggest that everybody, and believe it or not, I live on the outskirts of a city, and I've had this conversation with the wife during that big fire season, because we are on the outskirts. We never know what's going to happen. So let's go ahead. Let's sit down. Take 45 minutes. Let's make a list together. Well, that ended up getting us out to the store. We bought a fireproof safe that has a handle. You can grab that thing in an emergency. It's got all the critical stuff in it, and we can head out the door. She included her things. So your spouse, your partner, whoever you need to sit down and have a conversation with. And one more thing, not trying to incite any kind of fear, but sit the kids down. Have a conversation with the kids. Hey, guys, just want you to know this is our battle plan if we need to go forward with it, just so everybody's aware and you don't have to look for anybody if you have to get out of the house. And, Jesse, there is another thing I wanted to say, and that is I'm glad that these conversations are being had. Looking back over your shoulder, what hard lessons were learned from the Elk Fire?
We've talked about those evacuation zones. We didn't have pre-planned zones, and that was definitely made for a large challenge. It was easy for us as first responder agencies and emergency management to say, "Hey, we need to evacuate this particular area." The problem was then it would take us an hour or two to get that information out, because we'd have to write the press release. We would then have to describe what that zone actually looks like. We would then have to produce a map at 3 o'clock in the morning, which means that we don't have a lot of people to assist with that. And then we had to push that information out to the public quickly. And so all of those things took time, because we didn't have as much of a plan when it came to pre-creating zones, pre-explaining what those zones are and all those kind of things. So that's why we've been working on this process, to have these pre-created things so that we have these plans in place. I think that was a big lesson learned, and we've definitely been working hard to rectify that issue.
Let's, and I know I've got other topics that I need to talk about, but I want to make this as easy as I can for everybody out there listening right now. So let's talk about the ReadyGo system. This is a system that I really, really liked when it was brought and talked about on the show. It's been a couple of years, so let's refresh people. What is the ReadyGo system?
Yeah, so we have three stages.
Ready, set, go.
Ready,
sorry.
Set, and go. We like people to be ready all the time. That just means you have a plan in place and things like that to so that you're prepared to evacuate at any time, especially during wildfire season. But that may be just, the ready, set, go. Sometimes we even have stay involved in that. So if we may ask you to shelter in place if there's a hazardous material release or something like that. Sometimes the best location is inside your house. So we may ask you just to stay inside. But the next stage would be set. Set means that there's a possibility that there's a fire potentially or some other hazardous incident coming your direction. You need to get everything prepared, ready to go, set by your door, maybe pack up your car, those kind of preparedness things. If you are an individual that needs more time to evacuate, then it's really important that you maybe consider, even in a set status maybe to evacuate at that moment in time because you may need more time. If we're putting you in a go status, that means evacuations, you need to go right now. That's not the time to be prepared. That's not the time to get your stuff. That's the time to get in your car and leave the area and evacuate because there is a threat that's coming that could endanger your life. And so having those three stages really helps us to be able to push out and plan. During the L-Fire, we were fortunate enough as the days went on, we were able to put people in either ready, set, or go, or no status at all. But that may not always be the case. We may call for a go status right now in a particular area because a fire just started in an area. So you may not get the advantage or the ability to get in one of those prior statuses. That's why you need to be prepared.
So make sure you got everything ready. And I think of that as like my green. That's correct. My green light.
Yep.
I've got time to get everything ready to go. And when the set comes down, it's either in the car or by the door that I could grab it as we get out of here.
Correct.
In situations like that, how does that information come to me? Am I getting this on my cell phone? Should I have the radio on? What's the best way?
Yeah, if it's an evacuation and go status, we're going to push that out to everybody's cell phones. Those are through alerts and warnings. If you are signed up for Sheridan County's alert and warning system, which can also be found on my webpage, if you're in one of those lower statuses, we will push that information out to your cell phone through those alerting warning systems. But the only way I'm able to push out any kind of status is a go status. And so because those are things that you don't necessarily sign up for on your phone, we're very limited in what we can force out onto your phone, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, and in those cases, depending on where the location is, we may push those out on, we'll definitely push them out on radio here at this network.
We are here.
And then
for
also, on your phones, and then also through television would be another option that we could use if we need to, depending on the size of the incident. So, making sure you're signed up for those alerts and warnings is definitely helpful.
Okay, fantastic. And I know people living out there in the rural area, you're intelligent folks. I just want to make sure that you've got all the resources at your disposal possible so that you can, try to live somewhat of a normal life in an area that may actually pose a little bit of danger.
Yeah, and I also want to point out, too, if we're putting somebody in a go status, we're most likely going to have teams going door to door, letting people know and knocking on those doors to let them know you're in a go status. You need to leave. So that's usually deputies. It could be other search and rescue volunteers if the situation warranted. But most likely it's going to be law enforcement that's going to be going door to door, or firemen telling you that you need to evacuate.
Now, once we're evacuated, is there one or two locations that you generally set up to receive evacuees?
Yeah, normally we would set up something at the fairgrounds as our typical location, but it's really location dependent. You know, if it's kind of closer to Claremont, maybe we'd go set something out in Claremont. Same thing we've done out in Dayton. We set up a shelter out there in Ranchester, the same thing, if it's not really impacting over here in Sheridan. So I do try to make it as convenient as possible. One thing that I learned during my incident, most homeowners insurance do cover the cost of an evacuation. If you are in a mandatory evacuation, check with your insurance policy. But most of the time, there is costs that are covered in your homeowner's insurance that if you were evacuated by emergency personnel, they will cover the costs of your hotel stay, any supplies that you need. So, clothing and other things like that, save your receipts, and also the cost of food. So if you have to eat out because you're not able to access your home because you're evacuated, save all those receipts and you can submit them to your insurance company. And most of the time you'll get reimbursed for those costs.
Fantastic. Make sure that you're keeping every receipt. If you're under a mandatory evacuation, save every receipt. Fuel.
Correct. Yep. Those
everything.
Costs.
Everything that's, yep. that you have to purchase to ensure that your family is safe and comfortable, that becomes possibly redeemable.
Correct.
Speak with your insurance agent, and maybe you can even add that to a policy. Who knows? I'm not sure about insurance, so
sure.
I won't assume too much. But that sounds like a fantastic thing, and I'm glad that you brought that forward, because a lot of people, in a situation like that, Jesse, I might not be thinking straight. I'm on survival mode. I just want to get my family from one area to a safe place.
We just really don't want people not to leave because they're concerned about the costs of, I can't afford to stay in a hotel, or, you know, the food and all those kind of things. All of our shelters, we always take pets at those shelters.
Fantastic.
So they may not be housed with you. They could be at somewhere nearby, but you'll be responsible for taking care of them. But we also don't want that to impede people from choosing to evacuate.
Yeah. Yeah, making that decision to sit there with your furry friend thinking that they don't have a place to go.
Hey, I evacuated with my English bulldog and my cat. So yeah. Yes, you know, the one thing I didn't leave behind was my pets. I'll tell you that.
The whole family's going.
Correct.
Absolutely. All right, I'm getting the signal to take a commercial break. We're going to have more Sheridan County in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The rodeo is part of who we are. It's our history, our identity. But boy, this is not your granddaddy's rodeo anymore. The YO is bigger, better, and bolder. Larger purses, tougher competition, and a whole lot of family fun. Come for the World Champion Indian Relay Races, high-stakes PRCA action, and a warm welcome unlike anywhere else in the world. Get your tickets at SheridanYORodeo.com.
The 42nd Annual Buffalo Lions Club Fishing Derby is Memorial Day weekend at Lake Desmet. Dust off the pole, gas up the boat, and get ready for a fun-filled weekend of this great old sport. The lake is located on I-90, 7 miles north of Buffalo. There are fish tagged from $100 to $3,000, daily fish and cash prizes, and a Monday drawing for guided youth elk hunt. The 42nd Annual Buffalo Lions Club Fishing Derby, May 23rd through the 25th, sponsored again by Budweiser.
It's Captain Clean here, and cleaning season is back. Let our cleaning experts freshen up your carpets and furniture. Let our HVAC experts clean your ductwork and air conditioning for maximum performance paired with clean air this season. Bring your area rugs to our shop and have our rug cleaning experts freshen them up. Cleaning season is back. Call Captain Clean 672-0726 and let's clean.
We clean more for you. We're Captain.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Commissioners Lonnie Wright and Michael Arzee and Emergency Management Coordinator Jesse Ludekaus. I had a couple other things that I wanted to talk about, but folks, I want to be able to ask Jesse just about any question I can think of that could possibly help listeners out there be as prepared as possible for an upcoming heavy fire season. It's better to be ready and not need these things than to need these things and not be ready. Jesse, Commissioner Wright brought up a great point, and there was an event over the Elk Fire, livestock. You know, sometimes livestock is somebody's entire life sitting right there. What do we do in that situation?
Yeah, we always open up the fairgrounds as a location to take livestock. During the Elk Fire, we had a lot more livestock than we did people coming to the shelter itself. So, you know, we do make the individuals responsible for taking care of that livestock. So you still have to come and feed them and water them and all those kind of things. We're just providing a safe space for those animals. And we had lots of different kinds of animals, horses and all kinds of stuff that were there at the fairgrounds during the Elk Fire.
Okay, fantastic. So, folks, you got a spot you can take that to. And if we were in that emergency situation, I imagine with the call for everyone to get ready, set, go, there would also be a, hey, you need to bring your livestock. This is where to do it.
Yeah, and 90% of the time it's going to be the fairgrounds is kind of the main designated location. We do have some backup locations. I don't want to mention them just because I don't want to confuse people, but we do have other locations, and we would announce that if that was to take place.
Okay, fantastic. So we do have, let's just call them overflow.
Yeah, or alternative locations.
Okay, yep. Fantastic. Now, I've got only about 4 minutes left, believe it or not. and there is one thing that I did want to ask you about while you were here, Jesse, and that is coal seams. You're trying to map these things, correct?
Yeah, we received a grant with the support of all the commissioners to map the coal seams. That's going to be here in Sheridan County, Johnson County, and Campbell County. We did a joint grant together, all working together to address these concerns because it impacts all three of our counties.
Now, someone out there might be asking, why are we mapping coal seams? Are we getting into the business?
Yeah, did you want to take that one? I'm sure you've probably dealt with that a few times.
I have. Yeah, it's basically a for whatever reason it's on fire, probably from a wildfire. A coal seam will catch on fire, and then it will proceed to go underground many times. I know of, and Mike probably knows a little bit about this too, people who have tried to dig it out to put it out. And they dig down, and there's no putting it out.
Wow.
Most of the time is no putting it out. So these seams are on fire, and then grasses will grow up very near them, and sometimes they daylight back to the surface. The actual heat will be enough to set the grass on fire, and we're off and running with a little wind, and you just never know where it's going to end.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm not looking at you like you're an expert, sir, but I've heard that some of these things can burn for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And we'll never know.
Right.
Scoria. You see scoria on hillsides, you know, tops of hills. That's
red shale.
Red shale.
Okay.
That's coal, like, underground fire.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what causes that.
Yeah.
That's
kind of the equivalent of, you know, starting a wood fire in a barrel and making charcoal. That's mm-hmm. what.
Something similar to
it
that.
It kind of turns coal into red shale as kind of the aftermath. Yeah.
That is incredible.
We've had, there's one that I remember. We never did get it. We didn't even want to go after it. After a while, we quit trying to put it out because it was just.
Fruitless effort.
Yeah, this is up at Decker, and it was, so you just leave it burn and just contain and watch it and, you know, chart it, make sure that's one of the things that if Chef Foreman had on his diary every day, you know, you have to,
Where's the fire at?
Yeah, make sure, yeah, and that's all you can do with something like that sometimes, but mapping them and knowing where they're at, that gives emergency management Sheriff's Department, everybody a lot better chance at pinpointing where there's going to be a hot spot and a potential grass fire coming up or brush fire. It's a good tool.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Also like going out to those locations and treating around them so there's no grass right next to where daylight is.
Yeah.
And that's preemptive attacks.
Part of the grant.
Correct. Yeah. So first we've got to find out where they are, determine if there's something we can do to mitigate them or if they need to be mitigated. Once we do that, then we can go to future grants and try to deal with mitigating those coal seam fires if it's possible to do so.
All right. I've run out of time with you, gentlemen. One more time, Jesse, if you would do me the favor and just let people know where they can go online to get all of this information that we've been talking about this morning.
Yeah, you can go to my website. So if you just search Sheridan County Emergency Management, it should come right up to the webpage there. And then if you're looking for preparedness information, ready.gov is, I point everybody to ready.gov. They have lots of preparedness tips, lists for every kind of scenario that you could possibly imagine on there, from wildfires to tornadoes and floods and everything else. So a lot of great information there.
Fantastic. Folks, I hope you never need it, but we want you to have all the information we can possibly get to you. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in this morning and having a conversation with me about this. Greatly appreciate you. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You can win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Wyoming Whiskey is proud to bring you the Whiskey Rodeo Classic. Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd through the 24th. It's full throttle chaos. The rankest bulls, the wildest broncs, the toughest pros throwing down in the dirt. Then the stage explodes. Friday night, Joe Cheyenne rocks the stage. And Saturday night, rising country star CeCe Frey brings down the house. Booze, bulls, broncs, and bands. The Whiskey Rodeo Classic brought to you by Wyoming Whiskey. Grab your tickets now at WhiskeyRodeoClassic.com.
At Carroll's Furniture, we believe in American-made quality, the kind that lasts for generations.
From the legendary comfort of Lazy Boy to handcrafted John Thomas dining, custom Mayo upholstery, and solid Von Bassett bedroom sets, every piece is built with pride right here in the USA.
Visit us at Carroll's Furniture at 340 North Main in Sheridan or online at carrollsfurniture.com.
Carroll's Furniture, American-made, family-trusted, where quality and comfort meet.
Summer is here, and so is the Summer Spectacular at Sheridan Honda. Join us on the second and fourth Friday every month, all summer long. Sign up for drawings like a free oil change or a gas card every week. On May 22nd, we are also giving away a two-year complete oil change package. Lunch will be from 11 to 1, so stop by, sign up, grab a bite, and check out our awesome inventory. Sheridan Honda, Sheridan's one-stop shop for all your automotive and power sports needs. Prizes change weekly, so make sure you show up and don't miss out.
Legacy Diamond and Gems invite you to see their special display, Great American Gems, showing gemstones mined right here across the United States, featuring Montana Yogo sapphires, rare Utah red beryl, and a variety of beautiful gemstones from Arizona, California, Idaho, Maine, Montana, Oregon, and of course, Wyoming. Great American Gems, see them now at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
The Sheridan Media Online Marketplace is now open through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, it's your chance to score big local savings. Hungry? Need a night out? Tackling a project? Looking to treat yourself? Start here at SheridanMedia.com. Save up to half what you'd normally pay on local restaurants, entertainment, health services, hardware, and a lot more. Now, if you spot something you love, click it, buy it, done. Sheridan Media Online Marketplace, open now.